Eurofolk Radio is ready to go. Yes, Eurofolk Radio is ready to go. And here we go.
Recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James. This is February 5th, 2016. And we're going to take a break from the Oregon standoff, although there is plenty of news still coming from that neck of the woods. I want to talk today about the Noahide laws and just another bogus Jewish pretense of law. A bogus Jewish pretense of law. And of course, that's Judaism is filled with bogus pretenses of law, including the idea that they obey the laws of Moses, and they most definitely do not. And this is a history of the Noahide laws in America, and it's from a website called comeandhear.com. And I just pasted the link into the chat room on TalkShoe. And this is what the Jews claim to have over us. And it's entitled America's New Church. And there's a couple of quotations from rabbis to start the article off. And this is Rabbi Shmuley Botich on Christianity. For Jews, the belief that God can be human is the ultimate heresy. Okay, so I guess they don't believe in Jesus. Next, Sancito Talmud Glossary, Minuth, M-I-N-U-T-H, heresy. The belief in more than one power, especially Judeo-Christianity. Well, the Jews are the ones who created Judeo-Christianity. So I think he means to say Christianity. But if Yahweh wants to divide himself up into three persons, that's his business. And no rabbi is fit to complain. The article begins, and it's about, you know, the Jewish attempt to, and they actually have succeeded in placing these Noahide laws into our law books, and it's very obvious they fully intend to carry these laws out, which means they fully intend to exterminate white Christian America, just as they exterminated 65 million white Christian Russians during the Bolshevik coup. The discussion begins as follows. Unbeknownst to most Americans, the U.S. Congress has been gradually changing the fundamentals of American law. That's absolutely right. And we've been covering this situation with respect to the Bureau of Land Management, the Forestry Services, FDR's alphabet soup agencies, all of which are unconstitutional, have no right to exist whatsoever. But because the Jews either bribed people, intimidated people, I'm talking about Congress critters and senators, and assassinated people such as Huey Long and JFK and several other of our presidents and Congressman Louis T. McFadden, etc., etc., the other Congress critters get the idea that if they don't do things the way the Jews want them to, they might have a really bad accident. And that's how the Jews operate. Judaism is not a religion. Judaism is organized crime masquerading as religion. And next sentence. The movement for change started as early as 1975, when Congress passed a resolution honoring the birthday of a prominent rabbi, Rabbi Menachem Mandel Schneerson, the Rebbe of the Chabad Lubavitch sect. Sometimes this sect is called ultra-Orthodox. It's ultra-satanic is what it is. The movement ratcheted forward in 1991 when Congress coupled Rabbi Schneerson's happy birthday message with a declaration that the United States of America was founded on the seven Noahide laws. Oh, really? As I recall, America was founded as a Christian nation. And if anybody doubts it, just go to Anglo-Saxon Israel and find the article entitled The Christian Foundations of America, where I quote the various constitutions of the several states, all 13 states, all the original states clearly state that Protestantism is the religion of the colonies, not Judaism. Of course, this is blatant garbage, right? It's blatant garbage, more garbage coming out of the mouth of a viper. It's an absolutely ridiculous statement that the United States of America was founded on the seven Noahide laws. But the Jews say anything they please and hope nobody complains. The Noahide laws promise deadly consequences for Christians. We shall understand why a little later. What are the seven Noahide laws? In brief, Lord God told the Jews that they must obey 613 commandments, none of which they obey, in order to have everlasting life, a portion in the world to come. But the Jews don't even believe in the afterlife, but decreed that the rest of mankind must obey only seven commandments. Now, of course, this is purely Jewish teaching, and there's no such teaching in the Bible. There's no such teaching in any of the extra-biblical literature, such as the Book of Enoch or Jasher or Jubilees. I mean, there's nothing like this in any Israelite literature. Zero, zilch, nada. Nothing. Of course, the Jews just make their so-called laws up on the fly, and they do whatever they think is necessary on this day to change their relationship and try to lord it over us. So the Jews don't believe in everlasting life. They don't practice the 613 commandments. They disobey them constantly. So those seven commandments are the Noahide laws, which you and I, as Goyim, apparently must obey. And if we don't behave, the Jews have dire consequences for us. Let's continue. So, only seven commandments. We Goyim only have to obey seven commandments. Furthermore, Lord God asked the Jews to enforce the seven Noahide commandments and to enforce them with liberal use of the death penalty. I guess that's what they did to Russia. While we read of Lord God writing the Ten Commandments on stone tablets with his finger and giving them to Moses, Exodus 31:18 and 34:28, there is no parallel biblical statement of Yahweh Elohim writing the Noahide laws on stone tablets and giving them to anybody, nor is there any biblical statement of Yahweh Elohim writing these Noahide laws anywhere, whether on stone tablets or tattooed on the butt of some rabbi. Nowhere. The Jews believe that the Noahide laws were either passed down orally or derived by rabbis, which means completely made up. The authority of the Noahide laws is not questioned, however. By whom? I question it. And every true Israelite should question it, because that's the problem with the world today. Nobody's questioning the Jews. Nobody's calling the Jews to account for their crimes. Here is an excerpt from the 1991 Congressional Declaration concerning the Noahide laws. Whereas Congress recognized, now this was during the presidency of George Herbert Walker Bush. Whereas Congress recognizes the historical tradition of ethical values and principles which are the basis of civilized society and upon which our great nation was founded. Yes, the common law, Christian law, not Jewish law. Whereas these ethical values and principles have been the bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization, when they were known as the seven Noahide laws, When were they ever known as the seven Noahide laws? When were, in the ancient days, is there a record anywhere between Noah's flood and 1991? anywhere of these seven Noahide laws? I have never heard of these laws until the Jews made them up. Continuing, whereas the Lubavitch movement has fostered and promoted these ethical values and principles throughout the world. Oh, really? I've never heard of them. I've never heard of them promoting these things until 1991. It's amazing, folks, that the Jews can make a claim like this and nobody knows about these Noahide laws. Which puts the lie to their claim that they have been promoted. Well, among whom? Certainly not among the Goyim. Maybe among themselves, but not among the Goyim. Most of the Goyim in the world don't have any idea, never heard of these laws. Whereas Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, he's good at sneering, leader of the Lubavitch movement, is universally respected and revered, and his 89th birthday falls on March 26, 1991. Universally by whom? The vast majority of people on this planet never even heard of this guy. Whereas, in tribute to this great spiritual leader, the Rebbe, this, his 90th year, will be seen as one of education and giving. Yeah, that's propaganda and stealing. The year in which we turn to education and charity, brainwashing and theft, to return the world to the immoral and unethical values contained in the Jewish Noahide laws. And whereas, this will be reflected in an international scroll of dishonor signed by that scumbag George Herbert Walker Bush, then President of the United States, and other bought and paid for heads of state. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that March 26, 1991, the start of the 90th year of Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, leader of the worldwide Lubavitch movement, is designated as Education Day USA. So remember, every March 26th is Education Day. The president is requested to issue a proclamation calling upon the people of the United States to observe such day with appropriate ceremonies and activities. Well, this day has never been celebrated. All that ever happened is that this so-called law was enacted by Jews, putting pressure on the American government to enact it on their behalf. And this is H.R. 104, Public Law 102-14. So, since the vast majority of American people have never even heard of this law, or the Noahide laws in general, it stands to reason that the Jews never wanted this to be made public. The real reason behind this law is they want the federal government, the stormtroopers created by Barack Obama and the ADL, to enforce this law when they see fit. The article continues, despite this congressional declaration, many Americans are still not aware that their country was founded on Talmudic laws. I'm not aware of that either. Because it wasn't. The Talmud is not the Torah. The Talmud is not the Pentateuch, the five books of the Bible. The Talmud has nothing to do with the Bible. The Talmud is nothing but Jewish invention. It is still widely believed that America was founded on the principles contained in the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and Anglo-Saxon law generally. Yeah, I think most people assume that. Some of the founding fathers even thought they had been influenced by the writings of John Locke, a Scot, not a rabbi. Not a raggy, rabbi. Okay. Help clear up this misunderstanding. A copy of that 1991 resolution, Joint House Resolution 104, Public Law 102-14, and prior congressional Schneerson birthday resolutions are available for easy download and study. So how is this totally unknown rabbi memorialized by the U.S. Congress? You know, how can this nobody, who certainly doesn't speak for the Bible, certainly doesn't speak for us, certainly doesn't speak for the American people, he only speaks for the Jews. So how can this totally anti-Christian, anti-white Jew command such power to have this day commemorated in his honor? Who is this guy? Well, he's a stinking, filthy, rich Jew, supported by the Rothschilds. And if you've got, let me try it again here. Okay. Oh, thank you, Kampchar. She pasted the law, or the congressional law, into the chat room. So let me see if this works. No, it didn't. It only allows me to post a link once in the chat room. It's really strange. Anyway, it's above. Anybody joining us lately, scroll up, and the link to this article at Come In Here is available there. Okay, so here's a picture of the coin with Rabbi Sneering Son, sneering at Yahweh Son, on one side, and something in Yiddish on the other side. And, you know, it's a quite well-done coin, but it means absolutely nothing, because the Jews have nothing, had absolutely nothing to do with the creation of America, and the Jews have no business telling Christians what we should or should not do or believe. So, this is a congressional gold medal awarded posthumously to Rabbi Schneerson on August 1994. The legend on the obverse reads, Benevolence, Ethics, Leadership, Scholarship in English, and to improve the home in Hebrew. In other words, to destroy the white race. That's what they call benevolence. And lying, cheating, and stealing, and murdering is what they call ethics. Corruption is what they call leadership, and making things up is what they call scholarship. To see how one of Judaism's most prominent and charming spokesmen is currently promoting the Noahide laws, study the May 8, 2001 speech of the very reverend and chief rabbi of the United Hebrew Congregations of the British Commonwealth, Professor Jonathan Sacks. Now, wait a minute. What's a British rabbi got to do with something, a law that was passed in America? Well, actually, it has a lot to do with, because it's the British Jews, namely the Rothschilds, who took over our country on December 23rd, 1913, when the Federal Reserve Act was passed and signed by Woodrow Wilson, that traitor. The speech is entitled Jewish Identity, the Concept of a Chosen People. Next heading, a description of the Noahide laws. The Noahide laws are defined in the Talmud. Remember, he does not say in the Bible. He says in the Talmud. Largely in chapter 7 of the Tractate Sanhedrin, particularly 56a, 56b, and 57a. And now this is a quote. This is a quote. Note, when excerpting quotations from the Talmud, I think he's quoting Elizabeth Dilling, and from her book, The Jewish Religion, Its Influence Today. When excerpting quotations from the Talmud, we sometimes omit non-germane text and footnotes. An omission of text is indicated by an ellipsis, that is, left parenthesis and right parenthesis. To see the full text and footnotes, follow the hot link at the end of the excerpt. It is our pleasure to make available online a number of Talmud tractates so that excerpts used in these Come and Hear articles and Elizabeth Dilling's book, The Jewish Religion, Its Influence Today, can be seen in full context. We indicate unprintable Hebrew characters, words, and phrases with the symbol H. Now you can, if you want to, download a typeface which gives you the Jewish black letters. I don't know if there's one available for Paleo Hebrew, but you can download these typefaces just about any type at all. But we won't need to for this article. Here it gives a quotation. Gemara, our rabbis taught seven precepts were the sons of Noah commanded. Social laws to refrain from blasphemy, idolatry, adultery, bloodshed, robbery, and eating flesh cut from a living animal. Now, the only people I know of who eat flesh cut from a living animal are Jews. We certainly do that, don't do that. And if anybody is guilty of bloodshed, it's the Jews. Organized Jewry has killed more people on this planet than probably all other ethnic groups put together. And the Jews are the most proficient robbers, using their banks to rob everybody and anybody, whatever they can tax or lend on usury. Okay? And the Jews blaspheme our Lord and Savior Yahshua Messiah constantly. And talk about idolatry. They idolize shekels. They idolize money. And they idolize each other, the rabbis. And talk about adultery. They're the most race-mixed people on the face of the earth. So the Jews are guilty of all of these things. Anyway, that's a direct quote from the Babylonian Talmud. Tractate Sanhedrin 56a, Sansino 1961 edition, pages 381 to 382. A contemporary promoter of the Noahide laws, Rabbi Shmuley Botich, Botox. Shmuley Botich is a Hasidic Jew, a Kabbalist. What's Kabbalism? That's Jewish Kabbalah is Jewish witchcraft. That's what Kabbalah is. A Kabbalist and a disciple of the late Rabbi Schneerson. Rabbi Botich expresses the Noahide laws in this language. The Jews have the 613 commandments of the Torah to observe. Now, that's true. The Jews do possess Bibles. And so they can go through our Bible and learn the commandments, as anybody can who possesses a Bible. That doesn't mean it belongs to them. Doesn't mean it was intended for them. It was only intended for us, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and Caucasian Israelites. Non-Jews have the Noahide commandments, he says, included within which are prohibitions against idolatry, theft, murder, adultery, and incest. Now here's another one that the Jews are most guilty of, incest. Cruelty to animals, their killing laws are very cruel. Then the Jews blaspheme our Lord and Savior Yahshua Messiah all the time. And the responsibility to establish and maintain courts of justice in a just society. Well, they have corrupted our courts. The courts here in America were not created by the Jews. They were created by white people. And the Jews have infiltrated these courts and totally corrupted them. Next heading. Jewish law enforced on non-Jews. In the following Talmud excerpt, we see that Jews have divine authority, they claim, to enforce the Noahide laws on non-Jews. Again, Gemara. If a heathen, son of Noah, I guess they give us credit for being sons of Noah, blasphemed, employing substitutes, I guess they make a distinction between the son of Noah and the son of Satan, employing substitutes of the ineffable name, he is, in the opinion of the sages, punishable by death. Okay, well, what are the substitutes of the ineffable name? Of course, the ineffable name is Yahweh. They call it the ineffable name, and the name that should not be pronounced. And in fact, in the Talmud, it says any goy who pronounces the name of Yahweh deserves death. And so this is probably just a repetition of that. Why so? Because it is written, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemed the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Now, blaspheming is taking the name of Yahweh in vain. And now, the vast majority of non-Israelites, non-whites in the world, never even heard of the name of Yahweh. So how can they blaspheme in his name when they never even heard of it? It's the Jews who, in fact, blaspheme it when they speak it. And they rarely do, because they actually created another law that says no one should pronounce the name. Next heading, one witness, death for Gentiles, or that is, non-Jews. Rabbi Yitzhak Alderstein is the director of Project Next Step of the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles. And, of course, that's a hoaxacost center. More Jewish lies. In Los Angeles, and a professor of Jewish law and ethics, the Jewish law what's the opposite for ethics? Non-ethics? Professor of Jewish law and anti-ethics. There we go. At Loyola School. Now, wait a minute. Oh, that's a Jesuit school. So Jews, Jesuits, what's the difference? Rabbi Adlerstein presents the basic principle of equal protection under Jewish law. You mean we're actually protected by Jewish law? You mean those Christians in Russia, all 65 million of them that got slaughtered, most of them tortured, were protected by Jewish law? Is that what we're supposed to believe? He quotes Rabbi Adlerstein. For a Jew to be convicted by a Jewish court, two eyewitnesses must have seen the perpetrator about to commit the crime and warned him of the potential death penalty. Now, wait a minute. For a Jew to be convicted by a Jewish court, two eyewitnesses must have seen the perpetrator about to commit the crime and warned him of the potential penalty. Does this mean that if two Jews did not witness him and did not warn him, that the Jew can get away with it? I think that's what they mean. It continues. The murderer must verbally answer that he chooses to proceed anyway. So in other words, if a Jew does something unwitnessed by other Jews, by at least two other Jews, he gets away with it. This, folks, is Jewish law. For a non-Jew, only one witness is required and no verbal warning. Okay, so the Jews are our judges. And, of course, executioners as well. This is by Rabbi Adlerstein as told to Naomi Pfefferman. So then, Jewish law is not based on equal justice for all. Obviously not, right? They have a double standard, one for themselves and one for, and we know their main enemy is us, the white race, one for us, one for the Goyim. Different standards are used to judge Jews and non-Jews. To convict a Goy, all that is needed is one accuser. See U.S. versus Talmud law for further discussion. Thus, it is very easy to convict a Goy, but much more difficult to convict a Jew. Well, guess what, folks? That's what we have in America. Because Jews get away with murder all the time. And we Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and Caucasian Christians are being prosecuted just like Lavoie Finicum and the Bundys and the Hammonds by the Jews. And these people have done absolutely nothing wrong. So we can see that we have Talmudic law running America. Now, the Talmud sages tell us that a single judge decides a Gentile's fate. There is no provision for a jury in Talmudic law. Uh-oh. Oh, guess what happened to Lavoie Finicum? See, they haven't been able to get away with it in other cases. And mark my words, they're not going to get away with the murder of Lavoie Finicum either. Because we are going to bring Yahshua. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait. No, that's blasphemy, according to them, according to the Noahide laws. That Jesus the Christ came down from heaven and was the Son of God. That, according to these Jews, is blasphemy. Well, we'll find out what Yahshua thinks about these Noahide laws when he returns. Again, Gemara. Rabbi Jacob B. Aha. Found it written in the scholar's book of Agada, not the Bible, but in the book of Agada, a heathen is executed on the ruling of one judge, on the testimony of one witness, without a formal warning, on the evidence of a man, which they claim is a Jew, but not of a woman. You see, these rabbis are very much misogynists. Why don't the feminazis, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to disparage Nazis. These femicommies, why don't they ever mention the fact that the rabbis hate women, that the rabbis are misogynists? Could it be because these feminazis, that was a word coined by Rush Limbaugh, it just rolls off the tongue, that these feminazis are evil? Are Jews? Of course, Rush Limbaugh never mentions the fact that these feminazis are in fact Jewish. Femikazis, as in Ashkenazi. These evil Jewesses never mention the fact that the rabbis hate women. Could it be because they themselves are Jewish that they don't bother to mention this fact? Even if the witness be a relation. Well, it says no women can give testimony, period. So they don't even worry about whether they're related to somebody or not. On the authority of Rabbi Ishmael, it was said, he is executed even for the murder of an embryo. Now, let's, folks, the vast majority of abortion doctors have always been Jews. The vast majority have always been Jews. So who's guilty of murdering fetuses, embryos, etc.? It's the Jews. And whence do we know all this, the good rabbi says? Rab Judah answered, the Bible saith, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. This shows that even one judge may try a heathen. Well, these words, and surely your blood of your lives will I require, doesn't say anything about how many witnesses there should be. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament, where the Mosaic Law is given, only applied to Israelites in the first place, because non-Israelites were not allowed to live among us, period. Remember the episode where Phinehas followed an Israelite man bringing one of those Midianite women into his tent? And Phinehas took a javelin and ran that javelin through both of them while they were engaged in the sex act? That's what Yahweh thinks of miscegenation. And the Jews are the worst offenders. That's from the Babylonian Talmud, Tractate Sanhedrin 57b, Sansino 1961 edition, page 390. So here again we see that the rabbis are supreme experts at making up nonsense and claiming that it comes from the Bible, that it has the imprimatur, let's say, of Yahweh God. Of course it doesn't. It does have the imprimatur the seal of approval of Lucifer. Next heading, Gentiles executed for violating Noahide laws. Oh, really? Here the rabbis argue and decide that heathens are put to death for idolatry and any other violation of the seven laws as well. And we know how broadly the Jews define anything they please. So even if, let's say, I say, I don't like Jews, is that blasphemy? Surely from the Jewish point of view it is. So if I go around saying, I don't like you stinking Jews, the Jews claim that they have the right to put me to death for saying that. Gemara, with respect to idolatry, such acts for which a Jewish court decrees sentences of death. Now, a Jewish court, not a U.S. court, but actually I repeat myself because the Jews have taken total control of our justice system. That's why it is no longer a justice system, but an injustice system today. Such acts for which a Jewish court decrees sentence of death are forbidden to the heathen. This implies that they are merely forbidden, but under their violation is not punished by death. On Jewish delinquents, it says here. Rabbi Naaman B. Isaac answered, their prohibition is their death sentence. Okay, this applies to the heathen, that is the goyim. R. Huna, Rab Judai, and all the disciples of Rab maintained, a heathen is executed for the violation of the seven Noahian laws. The divine law having revealed this one of murder, it applies to all, apparently applying to all the goyim. Again, right from the Babylonian Talmud. The translator, Rabbi Dr. H. Friedman, amplifies the text in a footnote, quote, in speaking of heathens, when the Tanakh teaches, Tanakh is the usual, but they have different versions, different spellings. The Tanakh, which is their claim that it's biblical, teaches that they are forbidden to do something, he ipso facto teaches that it is punishable by death. For only in speaking of Jews is it necessary to distinguish between prohibition and punishment. So whatever you and I do wrong, it is ipso facto punishable by death, even though the Bible says no such thing. So the rabbis can just assume that if we violate one of their laws, it is punishable by death. Death sentence endorsed today. It would be a mistake to believe that contemporary promoters of the Noahide laws have abandoned the Talmud doctrine that idolaters, that is Christians, be put to death for practicing their religion. They certainly did it in Russia. And they did it to white Christian Germany, two world wars, and they're doing it again today with the race war invasion. The Noah's Covenant website calls for the banning of Christmas and other Christian holidays and endorses the call for the death sentence for Christians. Noah's Covenant quotes Rabbi Schneerson from Volume 8 of the Likutai Sichos. Yeah, they're sickos, all right. An anthology of the Schneerson works. Rabbi Schneerson in turn quotes Maimonides, the Rambam. According to the known Jewish ruling that Christians are idol worshippers, therefore the idol must be Yahshua Messiah. That's a quote from Maimonides. Here's another one. A Gentile, that is a goy, is liable for the death penalty if he has invented a religious holiday for himself. Whoa. The general principle is we do not allow them to make new religious rituals and to make mitzvahs for themselves by their own devices. Well, who invited you into our society in the first place? You had nothing to do with creating America. You had nothing to do with creating Germany or Italy or France or Britain. Who the hell are you to tell us what or we can or cannot believe in our own countries, you stinking Jew. Rather, they may either become a ger tzedek and accept all the mitzvahs, like the Noahide laws, or should stand fast in his Torah, the seven Noahide laws, without adding or diminishing. And if he does make some new mitzvah, we lash him, punish him, and inform him that he is obligated with a death penalty for this. So, folks, are these people tolerant? They claim to be tolerant. But these Noahide laws prove, and their Talmud proves, that they want to kill us, and they're looking for justification to kill us. Now, interesting, Gentiles versus beasts of the field. Well, first of all, let us establish one thing right now, that all Jews are beasts of the field. They're not Israelites. They're not Adamites. They may be human in the sense that they are a colored race or a colored species or a colored breed, but they are definitely not Adamites. And they are definitely not Israelites, Shemites, or Hebrews. But let's see what this heading has to tell us. In Tractate Sanhedrin 57b, we learn that a heathen is executed on the ruling of one judge, that is, one Jew. Every Jew must be a judge because they're constantly accusing us. Let's compare that rule with the treatment of Jews and oxen accused of capital crimes. Wait a minute. An oxen can be accused of a capital crime? If an oxen tramples somebody to death, is that oxen liable? Does that oxen have a conscience, a free will? I don't think so, folks. Again, this is more Jewish nonsense. Footnotes, except for footnote 7, have been omitted from this excerpt. To read the footnotes and full context of the tractate, follow the hot link on the site. Again, Mishnah, capital cases are adjudicated by 23, the person or beast charged with unnatural intercourse by 23, as it is written, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, and also, and ye shall slay the beast. Now, this is very interesting, because the Jewish interpretation of this is exactly the same as ours. That an Israelite woman who sleeps with a beast of the field, not being raped, but willingly, consents to being raped by the, and of course, if she consents, it's not rape. So if she consents to lying with a beast of the field, the death penalty is appropriate. But even here, in biblical terms, there must be two witnesses. But the Jews say, no, there doesn't even have to be a witness. There just has to be the accusation. The ox to be stoned, now, of course, here is where we differ. The Jews don't recognize two-legged beasts, and we do. So, but to them, it doesn't make any difference anyway. All non-Jews are beasts, so they don't have to make any distinction based on two legs. The ox to be stoned is tried by 23. They actually try the ox? Okay, Mr. Ox, or Miss Ox, whichever the case may be, you are charged with trampling a Jew to death. How dare you? What's your defense? Moo. Can an ox defend itself? But nevertheless, 23 Jewish judges will be there to, I mean, you can you condemn an ox to death without interrogating the ox? Folks, Judaism is such nonsense, such absolute nonsense. And these rabbis know it is. It's simply the devil's blather. He's mocking us. He's ridiculed. What these Jews are actually doing is mocking the Torah, mocking the law of Yahweh by making up absolute nonsense like this. Okay, so the ox shall be stoned to death, and its owner shall be put to death. Now, what if the owner is a Jew? But that's not likely, so because the Jews don't farm. And there was a time when Canaanites and Edomites kept cattle and sheep and things like that. But today, there aren't any Jews who do any kind of cattle raising or sheep herding or goat herding or anything like that. They're all in business, some sort of business, whether it's abortion or pornography or killing people with wars and, of course, usury, organized crime. Tax farmers. Yeah, there you go. They're tax farmers. And so the ox and its owner shall be put to death, as the death of the owner, so that of the ox can be decided only by 23. 23 what? Well, I suppose 23 rabbis, 23 Jews. Doesn't say. The death sentence on the wolf or the lion or the bear or the leopard or the hyena or the serpent is to be passed by 23. Rabbi Eliezer says, whoever is first to kill them without trial acquires merit. Right. Rabbi Akiba, however, holds that their death is to be decided by 23. So, now wait a minute. Since these rabbis disagree with each other, which one is correct? You see, this is Judaism, folks. Even when the rabbis disagree with each other, they're both right. Rabbinical scholar and translator Jacob Schachter amplifies the text with these footnotes. If he gored a person, or a person which has killed a human being, or an ox which has killed a human being. Now, what's a human being? Is that a Jew? This is the forked tongue message of the rabbis, folks. And this is actually law. This stuff was passed under George Herbert Walker Bush. A further perspective in traditional Jewish laws and attitudes concerning Goyim is contained in What About the Gentiles? See also U.S. versus Talmudic Law, number 66. Noahides killed by decapitation. Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. And that's why we have all these guillotines that have been stored and these plastic caskets that contain, I don't know how many bodies, these big caskets that they have been creating and storing away. I have a feeling, however, that it'll be us that is tossing Jews into these caskets, not the other way around. Anyway, back to Gemara. Our rabbis taught, any man that curseth his God shall bear his sin. Well, we don't go around cursing Yahweh, although some people, some of our people do when they get out of control and they blame Yahweh for their own mistakes. They might curse Yahweh, but that's very rare. And they won't even curse Yahweh because they don't even know his name. They may curse God. But even that is extremely rare. If anything, the rabbis who say that they are, that Yahweh must consult a rabbi before he makes a decision. Now, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. What is taught by the expression, any man? The inclusion of heathens, to whom blasphemy is prohibited just as to Israelites. And they are executed by decapitation. For every death penalty decreed for the sons of Noah is only by decapitation. Again, this is confusing because for the sons, if it really says for the sons of Noah, they consider themselves to be the sons of Noah, so they must decapitate themselves. Might be a misprint. maybe it should say, for every death penalty decreed by the sons of Noah, which would mean the Jews against anybody else. The translator, Rabbi Dr. H. Friedman, explains in a footnote that the expression sons of Noah means non-Israelites. Okay. Well, maybe the Jews aren't sons of Noah. Maybe they're the sons of Cain. Maybe they're the sons of Esau. Maybe they're revealing something here that something slipped out. The definition, ish, a man. Well, our man is Adam, to show blood in the face. And that doesn't include the Jews, and that's the biblical definition. So here we can see again, the Jews, by redefining words, accuse us of being goyim, or heathen, when in fact they're the heathen. The sages consider decapitation to be the most hideous way to die because it so disfigures the corpse. In contrast, Jews who commit idolatry are stoned. Yeah, with drugs. To see footnotes, please follow the link at the bottom of the excerpt. Mishnah. Execution by the sword was performed thus. The condemned man was decapitated by the sword, as is done by the civil authorities. R. Judah said, this is a hideous disfigurement, but his head was laid on a block and severed with an axe. They replied, no death is more disfiguring than this. Well, I think a lot of English monarchs and French monarchs have been decapitated by Jews, but the world is unfamiliar with these Bolsheviks and Jacobins and Illuminati as Jews. So we can see the Jews have executed some of our leaders by decapitation already. Grunts push for decapitation. If it seems fantastic that decapitations might be carried out in the U.S., the reader's attention is called to the July 26, 2003 edition of Defense Watch. Quote, the voice of the grunt, must be a column or something. In an article entitled Anti-Terror Weapon, Off with Their Heads, unquote, Robert G. Williscroft argues that the U.S. military decapitate terrorists. Oh, haven't we been defined? That is, constitutionalists and Christians? If you come around with a Bible and a constitution, you have been defined as a terrorist. Mr. Williscroft states, we should have beheaded Saddam's monster sons and placed their pigskin-draped heads atop long poles in the center of Baghdad. Very civilized. Then, one by one, as we capture other high-ranking members of the old regime, their pigskin-draped heads should join the rotting heads of the Hussein brothers. Now we get, because of these Jews that have infiltrated our government, now you understand why all of a sudden we tolerate torture when we never did before in our entire history. Of course, all of the terrorists so far are the goyim. And once decapitation is used by American officials on Iraqi Gentiles, the precedent is established. Decapitation becomes an American practice and may be used on other goyim as well. Defense Watch is published by Soldiers for the Truth, which claims to be a grassroots educational organization started by a small group of concerned veterans and citizens to inform the public, the Congress, and the media on the decline in readiness of our armed forces. SFTT is headed by retired Army Colonel David H. Hackworth, probably changed his name from Jewworth. Jesus led Israel to apostasy. Now we're getting at the nitty-gritty. Should Christians be particularly concerned about all this? As we learned in Jesus' Membrum in the Talmud and Elizabeth Dilling's The Jewish Religion, Its Influence Today, Chapter 3, Jewish teaching holds that Jesus of Nazareth, Balaam, Ben Stada, which are Jewish words for Yahshua Messiah, was a false god. He was the bastard son of a woman who played the harlot with carpenters. He worshipped a brick, performed magic with his sex organ, had sexual intercourse with his donkey, and attempted to seduce women. He was a sorcerer who led Israel, that is the Jews, into apostasy. See, this is what the Jews actually believe about our Messiah. But it doesn't matter to us what they believe. He's our Messiah, not theirs. And they're the blasphemers, not us. From Gemara, on the eve of the Passover, Yeshu, which is their term for Yahshua Messiah, was hanged. For 40 days before the execution took place, a herald went forth and cried, quote, "He is going forth to be stoned because he has practiced sorcery and enticed Israel to apostasy. Anyone who can say anything in his favor, let him come forward and plead on his behalf." But since nothing was brought forward in his favor, he was hanged on the eve of the Passover. Well, of course, no herald was ever going around the city of Jerusalem making such a proclamation. There would have been some record of it. Even the Romans would have recorded something like this if it had occurred 40 times in a row. This is from Babylon Talmud, Tractate Sanhedrin 43a. I see we've only got a couple minutes left. The translator, Rabbi Dr. H. Friedman, amplifies the text in a footnote citing the Munich Codex of the Talmud. The identity of Jesus is clarified by calling him the Nazarene. Certainly, Jewish views of Jesus and his mother are allowable under the Bill of Rights, but we can't express our opinion about the Jews. Not in polite company, anyway. We can on the internet and in each other's company. So, here again, the Jews are trying to censor our speech by telling us, oh, if we speak too loudly, we'll get decapitated. However, the present-day Jewish view of Christianity has consequences in a way that the present-day Christian view of Judaism does not. Under Judaism, what happens to those who worship a false god? Mishnah, he who engages in idol worship is executed. It is all one whether he serve it, sacrifice it, offer incense, make libations, prostrate himself, accept it as God, or to say to it, "Thou art my God." In other words, if you consider Yahshua Messiah the Son of God, then you are an idolater. Folks, Judaism is a pig religion. There's a reason why the Spanish Christians referred to the Jews as Marranos, which is Spanish for swine. There's a reason they referred to the Jews as pigs, because this is pig religion, folks. Total pig religion. They know it. They know it's all nothing but fluff and blather. They know it's just garbage coming out of the mouth of Lucifer, and it's their mouths that are babbling this nonsense. But I just wanted you to be aware that this is what the Jews teach. Everybody needs to be, every Christian needs to be aware of what the Jews teach about Yahshua the Messiah and what they hope they can get away with if they ever take full control of America, which they will not. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Good night, Christian Israel, and get ready for the judgment day. It's coming really soon. Thanks. Take care. Yahweh bless. Good night.